Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, we got Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing?
I feel like death incarnate.
Why? What happened?
I got like 4 hours of sleep. I am miserable.
Cool. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I got all the butt stuff out of the way before we started.
Good. So glad. So
before we start talking about stuff on the show.
We're demonetized already. Thanks, Jacob.
Shut up.
I will cut you. Joining us to chat this week about all the fun Xbox stuff that happened over the past week, Timber Webb is back on the show. Timber, how are you doing?
Hi. I'm a little horrified at this intro, if I might be honest. But yeah, I'm you know, I'm hype as always.
Yeah, this is why Jacob doesn't do tweets anymore.
Whatever. I got banned to Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
He's in the Facebook wasteland where we have like 400 followers and that's it.
I know, and ID at Xbox hasn't updated the Facebook page in like how long?
Oh, yeah, well,
no one likes Facebook.
Go ahead and say it's dead. I've been trying to get that decommissioned for a long time.
Oh, so anyway, Xbox. Xbox is the big thing that has been in the news over the past week. They had their big showcase event, and we're going to discuss everything that went on, because a whole lot of shit went down. And Timber, did you watch the showcase on, like, did you watch it on Twitch, or what did you do for the event?
Yeah, I had it up on Twitch. I had it on my Xbox, actually, while working. So, yeah, I watched that and the extended through and through. It was awesome. It was so cool.
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really solid showcase. Started off as strong as they could with Fable.
Yeah,
just right out of the gate. Like, all right, you people want Fable? Here's Fable. And it looks amazing. And all the talk online is from the developers are like, people don't believe that's gameplay footage.
Yeah, I saw that.
Can they blame anyone?
Yeah, I mean, look at it.
It looks amazing.
Well, yeah, it's not just look at that. It's look at the entire history of Fable. It's
from what I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's been lie after lie after lie. That's the entire series.
Not so much lie, but it's just bit off more than they can chew.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I love the series through and through regardless. I did not follow anything before any of the Fables.
I love
And I'm
them.
So glad even I didn't, because yeah, I dove in. I was like, these games are incredible. It blew my mind.
Even if you couldn't plant a tree and see it 30 years later, whatever it was. Like, I had a great time with Fable 1. I loved Fable 2.
Mm-hmm.
I never got into Fable 3.
I've never played any of them, but this one...
I loved the hell out of the first one. Fable 2, I famously got married at the first town and ended up with like 5 kids and had to work in a fucking blacksmith shop just to make ends meet, so I never got the quest.
You really have the real lived-in experience with Fable 2.
It was terrible, because like I tried going off on a quest, and like I killed whatever I had to go kill in the forest, and suddenly I get a message from the game that I need to hightail it back, otherwise we're going to lose our house. And I'm like, what the hell?
Like, I'm supposed to be a hero.
Yeah, and then so I had to go back into the blacksmith shop, and I spent so much time grinding that I was just like, what is even the point of this game? This is awful.
You should go back and actually play Fable 2, because I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Play it without getting married right away.
Yeah, I work quick. Whatever.
But yeah, what did you think of it being shown off? Like, can you believe that these are actual, like, sequences from the game? Like, when they showed the character running, that I figured that was real gameplay going on. And from what I've heard, everything's supposed to be real gameplay.
Yeah, in 2023, I absolutely believe it. Yeah, I was reading that, like, they were saying it's a great compliment that nobody believes them. And yeah. I think that was just a great quote, because that's kind of how I felt. I actually didn't know it wasn't just a cinematic until I saw the tweets afterwards. And then, yeah, it just made me really excited. And it was a really cheeky trailer. Like, I just really liked the whole, framing of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good way to start off the conference, I would say.
I think the only way that they could have caught it off anyone off guard even more is if they had, like, announced Scalebound.
Oh, gee.
Like,
don't get my hopes up. Make it
yeah, I was hoping we would see a release date on this one. I was hoping we would see a year like 2024, but nothing yet.
They've been making this for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, it's what, Playground, years, so I have high expectations for this. Very high.
But I have expectations that it'll exist. I'm not familiar enough with anything to be like, I have any other type of expectation other than it will be here.
Playground does the Horizon games, the Forza Horizon game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're making Fable. This is their first non-racing game. And Their track record so far has been all like 90 plus Metacritic games. So I'm on board.
Yeah, I think it'll look realistic then.
Yeah. Right?
And you can probably drive the wagon really well. Yeah. Everything else,
can't wait to drift.
Oh, what if that's the surprise? It launches and it's like, surprise, it's a kart racing game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, kart racing. Just racing. Yeah. You have your pony and a little cart, a little wagon, and you race, and that's it.
Wasn't that how Fable the Journey worked on Kinect?
Oh, I have like no idea.
I have that for Kinect, and I never fired it up.
Oh, no, all right. Well, now you have some homework. Yeah.
But after Fable, they showed off a new game from Compulsion Games. We know them for We Happy Few. They showed off South of Midnight.
So excited. Oh, that one grabbed my attention. Actually harder than Fable, to be honest. I was like, oh, cool, Fable. And then, yeah, South of Midnight happened, and I was glued to the screen.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what kind of game it is. The visuals from that trailer looked so cool.
Yeah.
I want to see what the game actually has, though. I don't know what kind of game it is.
I know I want to find out more about it, and I think that's one of the best things a trailer can do, is have people talking about it and wanting to know more.
Very true.
That's been one of the most talked about that I've seen on everyone's lists, is South of Midnight. So, after that, Jacob, this one was for you. Star Wars Outlaws from Ubisoft is coming next year.
That was for me.
I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, any new Star Wars title I'll get excited about, but
you get a furry giant axolotl as a pet. Oh my god.
Yeah. It kind of sold, right?
Oh, yes, the moment I saw that, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So how fast can you get this to me?
We finally got a badass lady protagonist and a giant axolotl and kind of the hottest robot I've ever seen. So it's all three hits the nail on the head for me. So that it's big win. Big win for Star Wars.
Jacob, there you go. Now you can talk about that stuff.
Is hot robots the cutoff? Is that where?
Yes, I believe like so.
He's got something about him, but it looks great. It really does look very good.
After that, they showed off 33 Immortals, the new game from Thunder Lotus. They're the ones behind Jotun and Spiritfarer. 33 player co-op action. How the hell does that work?
We're gonna find out.
With 33 players. I was like, because like every time I see something like that, to me it just screams like, there was this old 360 game, I think it was, where it needed like 50 players to get in to beat the bosses because they were so huge and they were like dinosaurs or something. I don't remember. And it's just like, and the game died. And if you bought it, you couldn't beat it on your own. So, and that's just what I'm worried is going to happen with this game is after, you know, a few months, people aren't going to be playing it as much and then you won't be able to do anything.
Oh, that's one of the things of a live service game. You gotta keep things interesting and keep it updated, and hopefully they'll figure out a way to handle that. I'm excited to see what it does because it's going to be on Game Pass. Like nearly everything they showed off, outside of like a small handful of games, are coming to Game Pass, and it's ridiculous. Like we talk about how many games are coming to Game Pass and joke around that there's too many. And after this showcase, there's too goddamn many games coming to Game Pass. I have a life, damn it. I don't know.
No, you don't.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, it's not like you play them anyways.
Play a lot of them. But this one is going to be on Game Pass, and it's going to have 33-player co-op, and I'm excited to see more about it.
Yeah, same. And Thunder Lotus doesn't miss. They haven't missed.
Good stuff from them. I loved Jotun. Oh.
Yeah, Spirit Farer made me cry 1,000 times.
Next up was Payday 3. I'm cautiously optimistic about this one.
I couldn't get into Payday 2, so I'm just like, eh.
I like the Payday games. I'm just worried that they're going to release it and then like not put the DLC on it like they did last gen. So that's my big concern, is whether they're going to support it properly or not. But for the actual gameplay, I thought it looked really good.
Maybe this will be the one I play Payday. Not ever. I don't think played a single second of Payday.
Well, it's four-player co-op. Much. There's four of us.
Oh, there Let's we
make
go.
Make this happen. Next year, we'll make this happen.
I would give it a go. And you know, hey, it's Game Pass. Like, we could just try it.
Yeah. No real major financial investment. Just give it a go. No. Persona 3 Reload was announced. Act surprised, everyone. Act like we didn't see the leak a few days earlier.
What leak?
Act like it's impressive that they're remastering only the base game and not any of the extra stuff.
No, they're adding some of the story content. They're just not adding the female character.
Oh, I thought it was just the base.
No, people jump to conclusions that they're not adding any of the quality of life improvements without getting any kind of actual word about what the game is. They just assume.
Okay.
So let's see what actually comes out before we criticize what it's not.
But I'm good at criticizing things.
I know you are. Anyway, after that, Avowed was shown off and it looks fantastic. I was super excited about this one. This one did get a date. It's coming next year.
Every time we see this, it looks cooler and cooler. I cannot wait for this game. It looks so fucking awesome.
I'm so pumped for Avowed. Like, Fable and Avowed were the two big ones I wanted to see, and they showed them both.
Yeah. Well, that was a good lineup for sure. Okay. Yeah. I had to like bring it up. There's so many games. I was like, okay, which one's about right? Eternity. Right. Which phenomenal game.
I'm excited for this one. I'm excited to see what Obsidian could do with it.
Yeah, I think it'll be in good hands.
After that, we saw the Rare logo for Sea of Thieves. Fun little crossover going on here with Legend of Monkey Island, and it's coming out next month for free.
I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, this looks really good. I might have to get back into Sea of Thieves and try out this content.
I mean, I'm not interested in trying out Sea of Thieves because I don't have the time for it. But I really like the idea of the Monkey Island stuff, and I'm glad that they teamed up for that. I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, it seems like the perfect, like, when I watched trailer, I was like, oh, duh! Like, this is an obvious crossover. This is fantastic. Yeah, I think you're right. It's time to get back to pirating.
After that, they showed off Flight Sim. Some new Flight Sim content is coming. First off, the Dune ship is coming to Flight Sim in November. if you're a fan of Dune,
I am.
And pilot
which
crazy ass looking ship in Flight Sim.
I'm excited for that. And I know my wife will be too. She's a big fan of the first Dune book.
Are you going to clear room on your hard drive to fit the game?
Honestly, like, I'm hoping by the time that thing releases, I'll have sprung for one of like those memory expansion cards. Mm. So
that's the only way you will fit it on there.
Yeah.
And then they also announced Flight Sim 2024 with tons of new stuff. There were like hot air balloon races. There's aerial stunt racing, farm, like crop dusting crops. It's ridiculous the amount of stuff that they're adding to this game to make it stand out, and all the variety of events that you can do. That'll be out next year.
It's good the people who really like that game will have some new interesting stuff that isn't just fly from point A to point B.
Yeah, that's my honest gripe with Flight Sim is I don't know what to do. Like,
can I give you guys an idea to make it really fun for you? All right, so this comes from 12-year-old Timber and her best friend Stephanie. So we used to have my dad work for Windows, and we had a computer, and we had the original Flight Simulator, and one of us would fly, and the other one would pretend to be a flight stewardess or the people on the airplane. So one was the pilot, and we would be like, Captain, so-and-so, we're all out of vodka bottles. And, like, we'd have to, like, play while also trying not to crash in the game. So we made it, like, a hybrid imagination game. And we had a lot of fun.
That sounds exactly like something I would have done as a kid.
It really makes the experience come to life.
The only thing I've done frequently in the game is take off from one of the two local airports around here and just fly by my house.
How many times have you crashed?
Every time.
Okay. 100% crash rate.
We have
he hadn't said and land.
No,
he said
no. Took off. Landing. Landing doesn't happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever crashed on your house?
I don't know if you can crash directly on it. Like, I don't know if
you crash by your house.
I crash in the river frequently because there's a river right behind our house, and I'll land in there all the time.
On your house. Just see if it works. Just dive bomb it.
I fly by the neighborhood, but I can't tell exactly which house is mine.
That's a shame.
Maybe the map has been updated and I'll give it another look.
I wonder if that insanely tall building is still in there or if they patched that out. Because originally, you didn't know about this? There was a building that for some reason, when they put it in, because of its address, it did something really fucky wucky with the game, and it just grew into the stratosphere. Like, it didn't matter how high up you flew, the building was there.
Oh, wow.
I know there was one that was, like, in this really, really, really deep ravine.
Yeah, that's the one I thought that you were talking about. Like, because that is a real airport, isn't it? Or was that a mistake?
No, I'm pretty sure it's a glitch, because I don't think it's actually physically possible to fly out of that thing.
Well, people were able to do it without cheating.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the whole challenge was that you had to land on it and take off in the same go. And people were able to do it.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. It was a 212-story obelisk. That was, yeah, I think it's in Australia, I think. And they just happened to put the address in incorrectly to apparently such a degree that instead of being I think it was supposed to be a single story building, it turned into a 212-story building.
Oh, nice. No. There's something extra creepy about glitches in Flight Simulator, because it's so realistic that when you see it, it's very creepy.
Speaking of things looking super realistic, they showed off Hellblade 2.
And I did not need to see this. I just need them to give me the game. Just give me the game. That's all I want.
I was really hoping it was coming this fall, but nope, next year.
Yeah, I was hoping this year too, but I knew it wasn't going to happen, sadly.
Ah, well. It looks amazing, though. That was apparently all actual gameplay footage as well. And I believe it. It looks insane.
Oh, yeah. In the scheduling, I posted a picture of the obelisk.
Oh, nice. You should put it in general so that everyone can see it.
Why? I can't.
Yeah, dork.
Here you guys. Now you get to see it too, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's horrific. That is a scary image. That is alien.
Yeah, apparently you could crash into it too.
Yeah, like, of course you can.
So chances are if you can find your house, you can probably crash into it.
Oh, okay. You also now have homework. Fly crash.
Yeah, I have no idea if that thing still exists or not. But yeah, no, it is funny. Scary.
That is funny.
Oh, it's supposed to be a two-story building.
Yeah, they messed that up just a little.
Uh-huh.
Just a smidge.
Little off.
They showed a new trailer for a new Like a Dragon game called Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth coming early 2024. We don't know much except the dude was naked on a beach.
That trailer was so funny. I have never played the Yakuza games. My partner really likes them, so I've spectated a lot of Yakuza, and that's really fun for us. But this trailer super cracked me up. It was...
Yeah, I will never not love Like a Dragon game. They're all fantastic. I cannot wait for this.
Yeah. Just waiting for something for a Twitch violation with that trailer. Like, it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, I love throughout the whole thing. They just, every time something moved, there's something else right there. Yeah. I was like, yes, that is perfect.
After that, they showed off Fallout 76 going to Atlantic City.
Why does that game still exist?
Because apparently it's money. Playable.
If it wasn't making money, they wouldn't keep investing in it, but I haven't really gone into the game. I should give it a go. That should be my homework. Aki has to fly into a building. I have to play Fallout 76.
I don't have that game.
Light Sim?
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass.
Okay. Here, let me also put the... I don't have the, like, 100
it's streaming.
Games required or something. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that's a game that everyone tried out streaming on because it's so big.
Yeah.
New game from Capcom was announced, Path of the Goddess. This game looks nuts.
I want that so bad.
I know you do.
It looks so good.
Jacob, did you see that one?
Which one?
Path of the Goddess.
No, I didn't.
You're useless.
Very.
I don't know why we're all surprised.
I know.
I'm not. I don't know why he is, though.
After that, they showed off some new footage of Forza. It looks jaw-droppingly realistic.
Like every other game of it that's come out in the past, like,
decade. I mean, it's crazy how realistic these games are getting. It looks amazing. Visually, it looks stunning, and I can't wait to play it. Coming out in October.
Cool.
Nice. Not far off.
Wish it was spring, but I'll make it.
You got this. You can do this.
They showed off Elder Scrolls Online expansion. So for the people who still play that, there's some new content coming there. Overwatch 2 has an update coming August 12th. Going to be getting some of that supposedly canceled single player mission content, that, story content.
That you get to buy piecemeal. Yeah. Have fun, everybody.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that stuff.
Yeah, it's so totally that company, though. It doesn't shock me.
Oh, man. Starfield was shown off.
That obviously looks amazing. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for it.
I kind of wish they would have shown off something else instead of Starfield, because Starfield had its own massive presentation right afterwards, but I guess for the people who didn't want to watch the whole Starfield thing, they had to throw in a little nugget for me.
Yeah, well, it was long. The Starfield, I think it was a as it was long an hour as the actual. Or an hour and a half. Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge presentation after. So it's good that they gave a little for, you know, some people didn't have time after the showcase.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
Persona
yeah, I was, 5.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was surprised at how RPG it looked. Like, incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to check it out. I hope there's enough RPG elements and it's not entirely like No Man's Sky. I hear people calling it No Man's Skyrim.
And it does definitely look like that. I thought it kind of reminded me of like Mass Effect in how they're trying to set up like your party and social, and you can smooch. We got confirmed romance, babies. Let's go. So like we have that, and they like explain there's like a system of backgrounds, which I thought was really interesting. So one of the example of backgrounds is, oh goodness, what was it called? It was one where you pick and it just gives you a family, and you send money, a little bit of money to your family, and you can go visit your folks while you're out exploring the galaxy. And like, I don't know, super little details like that in RPGs and role-playing games just like mega thrill me. So I'm here for No Man's Sky meets Mass Effect meets Skyrim. You can call it whatever you want. It really looked very cool to me.
I agree. Yeah.
Naki, what all are you excited about with Starfield?
Dude, it's huge. You can scan things. And I know that to everyone who's everyone else is like, okay, you can scan things. You can scan everything. You can go to planets. You can scan all the things. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. It's probably going to be my focus for that game is I want to scan all of the things.
I feel like I wish we could play together because that's probably my least favorite thing about it. Like, I'm excited, so like I could, if we played together, you can scan everything for me and I'll smooch all of the characters on that side of
only single player though, isn't it? I don't think there's any kind of
it's all
single player. We just make the two types of players that are going to be playing that game, I think.
I mean, I plan on smooching all the cute characters too. That's just going to be part of life.
It's just part of life.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wait a while so everyone can figure out who all the dateable people are and then look through them and be like, oh, yes, that one, yes, yes, and then go straight for that.
Yeah.
That's how I play all of them. If I can, yes. I am not against polygamy at all.
Polygamy is rather big of me.
Quit this show.
I win.
After the Starfield stuff, they showed off Persona 5 Tactica. Act surprised again. Like, that one didn't also leak a few days beforehand. I feel bad. Like, those are two huge announcements that people would have lost their shit about, and they got spoiled. That's, I hate when stuff gets spoiled in these presentations.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough when it happens.
None of it was spoiled for me. I just didn't care that much. Sadly, I didn't get
the show last week. You heard the news.
I wasn't paying attention, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
I kind of blank during the news portion of it until I hear something I care about. But the moment you say Persona, I couldn't get into Persona 5. Just having the deal with all the mechanics it had just ended up putting me off. So the moment you said Persona, I probably blanked.
Hmm. I really thought you would have gotten into Persona 5.
Me too. I'd been wanting to play the Persona and the other one that it's based off of, the demon one, whatever the fuck it's called. I so wanted to play those for so long, and then Persona 5, I was just like, man, the minutia that you have to pay attention to in this game gets so very boring.
I'll try 4. Maybe you'll get into 4 a little better.
Oh, does it not have all the...
I mean, it still has, like, the social stuff in there, but they're all different games, so they have different ratios of how much social versus gameplay, and
okay,
everyone talks about how 4 is, like, the best Persona. So
okay, I'll have to give that one a try. Yeah, because, sadly, that turned me off of another game that we'll talk about later on, probably.
Maybe.
It's like,
But after that, they showed off Dontnod's new game called Jusant. It is a climbing simulator that I can
tell.
That
looks so cool.
It is so much. Yeah. I don't know what the game is outside of climbing, though. Is there
your mountain climber
action? Ooh. Is there combat in there, or is it just like a walking simulator, but you're climbing?
My partner called it, and I thought it was very interesting. He called it, the one with, wow, my brain was like, not today. Kojima's last game, Death Stranding. He said it looked like a colorful climbing Death Stranding, and that intrigued me. Yeah. Well, he said that like in a very positive, like he really liked the game and a lot of about the game he really enjoyed. But yeah, when I looked back, I was like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it looks cool. I like all the little weird things that happen. So, because like in some parts of the trailer, you have this little thing that's with you, which I assume is kind of like the baby in Death Stranding. And when it made noise, new handholds would appear, or you know,
they gigantic better sell plushies of that thing, by the way.
Oh yes. God, yeah, they'd make a killing.
Or a giant, you know, vine would grow that you could grab onto, and it would just grow you much further up. I'm like, that just looks cool. I like this.
Yeah, I like how colorful it was. I felt like it was in the wealth of trailers. It was just such a sudden, nice pop of different aesthetic and different colors, and it was just very vibrant to me.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I'm excited to see more about it. I want to know more. Again, that's one of the good things you could say about a trailer. Is you leave it wanting to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out this year, so this fall.
Nice.
After that was new game from the Chinese Room called Still Wakes the Deep. I'm not going to touch this one because it looks scary as hell.
I'm going to play this so hard in the dark by myself, and I'm so excited for it.
I can't wait to see exactly what kind of game it ends up being. Because yes, it's going to clearly be horror-based, but I'm just wondering what kind of gameplay it's going to have. If it's going to be you're trying to run away from a monster, or if it's going to be like, oh, this is going to be super suspenseful, and there is a monster somewhere lurking, and so on and so forth. Like, yeah. There's a lot of different types of horror this could be, and some of them just aren't my type, but some of them are like, yes, please.
Yeah. So something interesting about it, and I have the news on Xbox that has a blurb about all of them, so if you want to know more about some of these trailers, you can check it out on Xbox.com. They have little blurbs, and according to this, it sounds like that it's going to be mostly a claustrophobic climb and hide and run. So I think it's going to be one of those ones where you don't necessarily have, you know, machine guns to fight your way through it. So it's going to be a lot of hiding. And it also talks about that there are going to be survivors that you can help, which I think is really interesting in the scope of horror games, because usually they're pretty solitary experiences, or like, you know, you have a buddy and, you know, turn into a monster, you know, they get eaten and that sucks. But I thought that was kind of cool, that you search for your crew and you have to help, you know, help them survive as well as your own life is, you know, is at stake. And I thought that was so cool.
Okay. That just makes me want a little bit more. All right, cool. Yeah. Joe, you can be a pussy, but I think I'm going to play it.
Let's go.
Thanks. Up next is Dungeons of Hinterberg, yes. An action platformer hack and slash game.
Yes.
What'd you think of this one, Aki?
It looked so cool. I love it. I love it so much. You get to play as this lady who just looks like she's going camping, and then she beats the shit out of everything, and then there's a hover skateboard. Yes, just everything, yes, please.
I like how you explained like nothing about that trailer.
A woman on a hover skateboard. That's really all I got.
That went camping and beat people up.
Yep. That is what you get from the trailer, too.
Sold.
I mean, yeah, I'm sold. Yeah.
I just tell you the important parts of the trailer.
Next up, we had Keanu Reeves show up. That was pretty cool. Although he sounded weird. Was the mic messed up? Or like, did anyone notice that?
I didn't actually pay attention to him talking.
And like he sounded really muffled. Like either he had dental work or the microphone was like hidden behind.
He's a little mumbly
jacket or something. I don't know. It was He was setting up Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty coming out this September. It looks fantastic. I hear that Cyberpunk is in much better shape than when it first launched. I need to go back to it and check it out.
Yeah, the last update for the Xbox One version of it already made it significantly better. I don't know what it's like on the series, though. I haven't played it outside of my X1 in a long time. No, it should be pretty good. They're apparently changing a lot of the game with the 1.7 patch, which is going to be the one that's for this, I believe. Like, the entire system seems like it's going to be changing quite significantly. No. And that DLC is apparently going to be what everything they promised for the main game is going to be in that DLC. So that's cool.
They're apparently going to have a lot of the content still available as just a free update, but the new city section is going to be gated off, obviously.
Yeah.
Although I love that people are losing their minds. They're like, this costs almost as much as both of the Witcher expansions together. It's like, first off, it's only $30 when one of the Witcher expansions costs $25. So what's, like, where's the gripe there? It's a $5 increase over, what was it, like Iron and Blood or something like that?
I don't know, I never played it.
The Witcher expansion names, but, like, it's just a $5 difference. If the content is good and it's worth $30, then, you know, that's good. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out when it's out.
City Skylines 2 was shown off. That looks ridiculously in-depth. That scares me.
It looks like a game.
Helpful. It looks like a game.
Yeah.
My goodness.
That is where the most I can say about
where else
that.
Can you get such cutting-edge commentary?
Yeah. That is... That
no, it looks like a game, guys. Yeah. Case closed.
It looks
back it in. We're done fun. Here.
Yep. That's exactly how I feel about that game, yes.
Now it's coming out October 24th, and like most of the things they showed off, Game Pass.
Yeah.
So you can try it there.
Yeah, and if you like City Builders, it's gonna be fun, I think. Which I do. Love
it. After that, Atlas logo showed up again. This one was a surprise. Metaphor ReFantazio, new game from Atlas hitting Xbox. Not hitting Game Pass that I saw, but it is hitting Xbox in 2024. I'm excited for this one. It looks like another Atlas RPG. And
lots of PlayStation people are concerned that it might just be on Xbox.
I think it's funny. Like, they're freaking out that it might have been an exclusive when they're getting Final Fantasy 16 next week.
And still have 7.
Like, be hypocritical a little more.
Games.
Yeah.
I just want Final Fantasy.
I know. After that was Towerborn, a multiplayer hack and slash game from Stoic, who are the ones behind the Banner Saga trilogy. I thought this one looked really interesting.
Yeah. Super, super, super excited about that one. And Banner Saga, I mean, fantastic.
I don't remember this one. Sorry.
It looks like it's a 4-player co-op Streets of Rage style hack and slash, 2D hack and slash kind of game. It looked really cool.
Okay.
I want to know more. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you shall eventually.
Eventually. One final game to cap off the event was Clockwork Revolution, the new game from InXile. This looked nuts.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Bioshock Infinite. Yeah. I cannot wait for this. It looks so good. Anything that's even remotely close to Bioshock, I want so bad.
Absolutely. I actually recently started replaying the series because it's one of my favorites, too. And what an apt comparison. Super
I've played them all in their original release. I've played them all on Steam. Mm-hmm. And I constantly think about getting the collection one. That's for, I think, Xbox One, the collection. And I'm just like, do I really need to beat all of these a third time?
Yes. As somebody on their third playthrough, yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, yes.
It's only $9 for, or $10 for the collection right now?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't shock me.
Choose from Friends. Dark. Where's Dark Mika? scroll for you, Aki?
Yeah, I'm not online today. Well, I'm never actually online, am I?
No. I have to like look for you on my friend list.
Yeah.
All right, there you have the BioShock collection. Now play it. There's your other homework.
Okay. That I can do.
Merry Christmas, I guess. After that, Phil Spencer came out and said that one of the big things that people had issues with the Series S were, I just got a notification that I got reward points for buying the BioShock collection.
Congrats.
Yes, thank you. And then there's the notice. I got 1,000 reward points for that. Good job. I have way too many reward points. The big gripes with the Series S were the storage, and it was in white. So they're fixing that with a black Series S with 1 terabyte storage coming out this fall for $349.
1 terabyte isn't enough. At some point, they're going to have to figure this out. At this point in time, we need 5 terabytes.
Minimum.
And the next console will probably need more because there'll probably be games that are about half a terabyte, if not a terabyte at that point. And then they're going to give us like 500 gigs because they're stupid.
Next Microsoft Flight Simulator is really just like a little tiny house that lets you live next to an airport.
I could see the draw with the black Series S with the storage. I was hoping we would see a 2 terabyte Series X. If they announced that, I would probably upgrade.
I might too.
I was really, really hoping they would announce a 4 terabyte expansion card. Because if they had that, I would upgrade there.
I thought they had a 5 terabyte expansion.
No, they have one and two.
Oh, and no, they need to get a 5. That they need to just move up to a 5, just immediately. Just
I don't think 5. There is 5 for these. I think it's 1, 2, and then a 4 would be next.
They need to skip 4 and just make a 5 instead.
They might go to 6 or 8, but I don't think 5 would be an option.
Huh.
I don't know. Who knows? But my other big, my deepest wish, I want the backward compatibility program back.
I don't think it's going to happen.
That is my deepest wish for Xbox right now. I would do anything. Like, there's what, 650, 670, somewhere around there, games playable, which is great. But there's like over 2,000 that aren't.
And on top of it, it is complete hell trying to go through your download history
on a 360.
On the 360, but also the Microsoft website.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, like, theoretically, you could go back and find it through that. But, I mean, like, people like Joe and I, we've had Xbox Live since forever.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going 20 years now.
Yeah. So how am I supposed to, like, how easy is it going to be for me to find my download of Yaris? Like,
is it not in alphabetical order?
No,
it's in chronological order.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid.
And on top of it, like, you can only display like 3 months max without it like getting
crashing
and bogged down.
Yeah,
without it getting bogged down. And of course, again, you have people like Joe and I who constantly throw money at Microsoft for digital games, and even trying to find something I bought like a year ago is just absolute hell.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I've given up using the transaction history on Xbox. If there's anything I'm having issues with that's more than a month old, I'll just rebuy it if I have to. It's not even worth the headache trying to deal with the website.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And yeah, at least on the Xbox One and on the Series X, there's a ready to install list that shows everything you own. Sort it however you want. That is perfect. They don't have that on an Xbox 360. So if you want to find something, you got to check your download history.
Or go into Marketplace and hopefully it's still
there.
Right. Which, of course, there's games
a lot of delisted stuff.
Yeah, there's a ton of delisted stuff.
Yeah.
How the heck am I ever supposed to play Yaris ever again? Come on, man.
What the fuck is Yaris?
It's a racing game.
Oh, okay.
It was a free racing game that Toyota gave out. It wasn't bad. It was whatever for a free game.
Yeah, but it needs to be playable, just like the Burger King games.
And yes.
strong opinions.
I have, honestly, 1, 2, 3, 4 shelves full of 360 game discs that I can't play on my Series X.
No, that's fair. I meant the Burger King, specifically.
Yeah, including the Burger King games.
Wild. Wild.
Joe, you hurt my feelings sometimes.
What, did I own the Burger King games?
Yes.
Jealous?
You know what's so bananas about that game is as soon as you say the Burger King game, I can see the, like, in the green case with the picture and the guys, Burger King's running and there's like
sneaking.
It's just seared. I never played it, but it is like culturally seared into my brain, that one game.
It's horrifying.
it was pretty fantastic for a $5 Whopper add-on.
Wow.
Yeah, just so many games I wish were playable that they could bring back the program. I think there's a lot of life left in the program if they bring it back. And with Sony adding more classics to their PlayStation lineup, it would be a good move to counter that and be like, here's more games that you could play on Series X and S that if you owned, they're just ready to be played. You don't have to subscribe. You don't have to rebuy them. They're just there waiting for you. Go. Here's, like, even if they do a batch a year, E3, like, here's 50 more games that are playable. That would shut people like me up.
That would be so bomb. I would
love it. But, Timber, you mentioned there was an extended showcase, and there are some notes from that.
Yeah.
They showed off the High on Life DLC, High on Knife.
Yeah. Ooh.
I didn't know about the extended. Okay.
Oh, yeah, the extended. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I really loved the extended show a lot. That's where I think a majority of games that I'm personally excited for was in.
Well, I'm already excited for the very first one.
Yeah, they're getting a little spooky in that one.
Oh?
Yeah, it's going to be a horror comedy.
Okay, I'm down for this. Okay, yeah.
Did they announce a date on that, Timber?
Let's see.
So I'm going to need to review this High on Knife DLC. This sounds sounds amazing.
Don't believe that they did. It's High on Knife.
It doesn't
coming come soon. Out we got a coming soon. Yeah.
Something we do have a date on is The First Descendant. It's a third-person looter shooter with crossplay beta happening August 22nd through the 28th. That's something we know is happening, when it's happening. It looks cool. I gotta find out more about it. But, you know, having crossplay, I think, is gonna help it a lot. Because I have a lot of friends on PlayStation who want to play games with me, and not everything has crossplay. And we gotta work on that. Getting there. Rock Band 4 needs crossplay. Make it happen.
The people demand it.
All 12 of us. Go Mecha Ball from Whale Peak Games is hitting Xbox and PC in early 24.
Love it. Looks cute as heck.
What's the name of this again? What?
Go Mecha Ball.
Go Mecha. Yeah, I have to look all these up as we're talking. I literally did not know about this extended thing at all.
Go to the Xbox.
Can I put a link?
Yeah.
I want to put a link in your chat. Bam. Go for it. There you go.
Oh, I just realized I wasn't in our chat. Twitch.
Oh, good job. Proud of you.
I always am. Yeah, I'm getting there now.
They also announced that Phasmophobia is going to be hitting the series in August.
I saw that.
So if you want to poop yourself in fear, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Love that. I'm level 150 in that game on PC, so I'm pretty hyped. I really like horror, guys.
After that was the ID at Xbox sizzle reel. I'm guessing this is the part you were excited about?
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was the most sizzliest sizzle reel of all indie history.
A lot of good games were shown off. A lot of adorable games. Let's see. They had Another Crab's Treasure. What's this one?
That looked good.
That one looks great. It's a like Souls-like, but you're a crab who like is trying to get his shell back after, and you have to like go in trash, and yeah, it's a Souls-like and a Shells-like. They've been calling it a Shells-like. That's right.
Shells-like.
Yeah, beautiful. It looks super sassy. Yeah, mega excited for that one.
I am excited about Little Kitty Big City.
Oh, I bet you are.
Of course you are.
As Coltrane jumps on my lap, right?
Aww. Meow, meow.
Yeah, this one looks adorable. One of our friends, Jenny, was with Wholesome Games. She showed it off and was doing a stream, and it looks adorable. I can't wait to get my hands on the Little Kitty Big City. This looks like what Stray was showing itself to be. Like, a lot of people thought Stray was a cat simulator, but it's a whole lot different of a game once you get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that, like, this looks like what Stray should have been, where you're just a cat in a city. It looks adorable.
So cute. And all the games, like, a lot of the games we're talking about now are also going to be on Game Pass.
Yep.
It's worth noticing.
Everything in the ID sizzle reel is all day one Game Pass. Tectonica.
Oh, very, very interesting.
Tectonica?
So it is a factory automation game with a twist. You're a first person character. So it's not like the top down that you'd see with a lot of the factory automation games, but actually you are there in the fields, I guess. And that's really all I know about it. I'm reading about it. It's a chonky and lo-fi aesthetic, which I really love the lo-fi aesthetic in games. So I love that that's just a thing in indies, is lo-fi aesthetic.
It just looks super complex for me. I don't know if I can handle that one.
Yeah, well, that's the factory automation genre for you.
They showed off Galacticare. You get to build and manage a series of hospitals to keep your patients alive. For money, because it's the right thing to do, right? Save the galaxy. That's a good tagline. And also because it's the right thing to do.
Also. Yeah, that one looks really cheeky.
Another city building sim called The Wandering Village.
Oh, I'm so excited for The Wandering. I've had my eye on this one for a long time. And I was like, please, 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 please be an ID game eventually. Please, please, please. And then I saw it pop up one day and... Oh, I was so excited.
I like the concept. Were you
high-fiving people around the office?
Yeah, well, I work from home, so it was mostly just my cats that got those high fives, but yeah, for sure. The little ferrets. Ferrets don't give good high fives, I'll tell you what.
They showed off The Bookwalker, a narrative adventure. It's to steal legendary items like Thor's hammer and Excalibur to restore your ability to write.
Yeah, so I actually got to play this one a little bit, and it was very good, very interesting. Yeah, I really like this one, so I'm excited to see this. And I believe there is a demo still out if folks want to try this.
Yes, there is a demo at least on Steam, if nowhere else.
Yeah,
and it's like the concept behind what I've heard. I'm just now watching the trailer. It looks interesting. I like the visual design of what I'm seeing. I think I'd be into this.
Yeah, I would highly recommend the demo. It's hard to describe without playing it. So if I'm vague, it's because it's just, you just have to kind of play it.
Seems like another one you're going to have to really play to get is Harold Halibut.
That was a very narrative
game about friendship.
Friendship's magic. I had to. I'm sorry.
No, you really didn't have
yes,
to.
Yes, I did.
Nope.
Anyway, Neon White is coming to Xbox finally. Yes. Speedrunning first person shooter.
I didn't even know that wasn't on Xbox, to be honest.
Yep, well, it's coming.
I'm so excited.
Mineko's Night Market.
Adorable. Just the cutest in the world.
What do you do in this one? What's this one all about?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually don't know too much about this one. This one I'm still also discovering.
See, the Xbox site says it is a narrative-driven social simulation adventure game that celebrates Japanese culture and invites players to craft whimsical items, eat delicious snacks, and ultimately enjoy all the cats. I'm sold.
Yeah, done. We got all of the keywords. It kind of like aesthetically reminds me of games like Night in the Woods and stuff, which has me very intrigued.
Yeah. It took me a minute to remember what this game was. But once I saw it, I started seeing the trailer, I was like, oh, I know exactly what this is. Yeah. In this game, basically, you have your own little shop and you just slap a bunch of stuff together to sell to people. it's like, oh, here's this little ball and this stick and here's this little weird fish thing. Okay, let's just slap it together to create something and then sell it to people. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can. Yeah, you would definitely love this, Joe. 100%.
Nice. The one I'm looking forward to the most from the sizzle reel, Sea of Stars.
Oh, you are not alone in that. A lot of people very excited.
This was a game that was like, why isn't this coming to Xbox? To, oh my God, it's day one on Game Pass. Out of nowhere. Like, I didn't know it was coming to the platform. And then they're like, yeah, it is coming. And oh, yeah. Day one Game Pass, buddy. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. This does look interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be rad.
And then there was also an ID at Xbox Developer Accelerator Program. What is this about?
So, DAP, as we call it, the Developer Acceleration Program. And we also have a ton of really great articles about what that means on Xbox as well. We have created a program that helps bring games to life from basically developers that are underrepresented creators. So we help them out, we fund them, and get their games on Xbox. And you can apply for that if you're an indie. If you're an indie developer, an underrepresented creator, that's what the Developer Acceleration Program is there for. And yeah, we just more. More voices, more diversity on the platform and in indies and in games. I'm super proud of the DAP program. I think it's just the coolest. We announced it actually at GDC. But yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we're given resources.
There's a lot of games that are part of this program. There is a write-up on news.xbox.com. You could find out more about all of these games. What are some of your favorites out of this? I know the one that has been getting a lot of attention is called Drag Her. What's this one about?
Drag Her! yeah, this one's awesome. I think we were talking about it earlier. Dobie's wife got to play it, which I'm super envious of. But it's a fighting game! It's a fighting game with drag queens. That's what it is, and it looks fantastic. I mentioned earlier, like, I'm here, or I guess on our stream, whenever I mention this today, I'm here for all manner of drag queen media, so.
Yes.
Mega hype.
I know there was one called Spirit Swap Lo-Fi Beats to Match 3-2. We actually did a preview of that one on the show before. I'm excited to see it come into Xbox, honestly. I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah. I've been following them on Twitter for so long. It looks incredible. So hyped. This was another one that I had my fingers crossed. Like, please apply.
Yeah, I've had that one on my wish list on Steam for a while.
Yeah, so many good games part of this accelerator program. Slime Heroes looks really good.
Oh, yeah, I got to play that at GDC. It is. And the dev team was so awesome. I played their demo and they came up and they were so, this was like their first show that they'd done. And they were, you know, meeting everyone. They got to meet, you know, Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond and stuff at our mixer. And afterwards, they were so excited to watch people play. And so Chris Sharla told us that we should have Double Jump. What do you think? It was just such a fun question to like talk about, you know, like they just were so interested in how they could make Slime Heroes just the best it can be. I just thought that was cool.
Is there any other games that you wanted to point out that that we should check out and keep our eyes on?
Yeah, keep an eye on El Paso Elsewhere. Looks incredible. By one of my favorite developers, Zolivier Nelson Jr. He is one of the writers behind like Skatebird and I always
Airport for Dog or
an Airport for Humans run by dogs. Dogs, yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say that was a weird game. I enjoyed it. They also did Can Androids Prey? Blue, and it always drives me nuts because there's like I think it's actually called Can Androids Prey Red or something like that. And that game has never once gone on sale. And I'm just like, your games are interesting and I want to try them, but like, come on.
Yeah. I'm cheap. They don't miss though. And it's kind of, there's been a trend in indie games. Survive. Yeah. Yeah, they also did Organ Trading that Simulator. Incredible. Yep.
I reviewed that one for here too. That is a bizarre game.
Yeah, I love it. And this seems like right in line with that. Oh, they just did the poker game too, which I can't remember. It's not on Xbox, but that looks incredible. But this one is like a vampire story with like PlayStation 2 graphics, and it just looks so good. This might be one of the ones I am most hype out of the whole showcase. Been following it and I'm so excited.
A lot of good stuff. So much good stuff. And something we could look forward to. News came out this week that Microsoft signed a deal with People Can Fly to create a new Xbox game. They're the team behind Outriders and Bulletstorm, Gears Judgment.
Nice.
Okay. I'm excited to see what that brings.
That'll be good. Oh, can I mention one more?
Yes, absolutely.
How much time do you have? Because that was a loaded question.
We have all night. Mention all you want to mention.
Stray Gods. Check out Stray Gods. It's a role-playing musical game, and it just looks awesome. And there's songs.
Please tell me more about this one.
That's really the pitch. It's like... there's songs and you meet people and it looks awesome. And it's like, you know, it's a role playing game, which I
that
I'm
one's been
out.
On my wish list on Steam for a while too.
Yeah, it should be. And you get to sing with Apollo and Persephone and stuff. I don't know, I just think that's really, it just is so unique.
Yeah, the lead writer of Dragon Age is the one who's working on that.
Right.
People heard more computer noises. That was Microsoft emailing me again that I got more Microsoft reward points. Can they stop emailing me every single time I buy something?
I get it all at once.
Well, I get an Xbox message every not just email, but an actual Xbox message every single time.
So you can turn those on and off.
The chat messages from Xbox?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, but then what if they send, like, free game codes or stuff like that? I don't want to miss out on those.
They do
exactly.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And free money from them. I've gotten a $50 code from them before. Just like, there's a sale coming up. Here's $50. Have fun.
The shit?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to have to turn that shit.
Yeah, turn those marketing email things on.
Watch as Aki finds out like she's missed out on like $5,000 worth of free Xbox
Don't
stuff.
Make me cry, please. I would be so damn depressed.
I get a message with every purchase now. It's like, you got 919 reward points for buying that shitty game from Jacob.
More reward points you can't spend.
Yeah, wait, reward points game? I can't spend.
Wait, what game did you buy from
Android
me?
Survive.
Merry you Christmas. Bought me a game.
Aww.
Timber, what do you want? I'm buying everyone shit tonight.
No. You don't need to give me anything. I'm good. Have you played The Veil yet? Yeah, love The Veil. That's actually part of our DAP program. That came through.
Yes, I know.
Xbox. Yeah. Oh.
I can't see anything that's coming, but I found something that actually showed me everything that was there.
Yes.
I haven't been able to find anything that says, oh, this is stuff that's coming, but I was like, I've played a bunch of these for review. I like most of these.
Yeah, yeah, the DAP program has just some incredible games under its belt.
Tale of Biston, Kraken Academy, Validate, The Veil, which is one of my favorites, Calico. Like,
you know what Timber actually wants? She wants all the DLC for one of those European train sim games. So, Joe, you're going to need to dig up $25,000 real quick. Shit.
You know, I haven't tried Diablo yet. So, you know, maybe the collectors would. I really want to try out that
Mortal Kombat, you know, Ultimate Edition like thing. Make sure it comes with the statue, you know.
Thanks.
Did you see the statue for the new Mortal Kombat 1?
I did.
Just like a Liu Kang statue. I'm so disappointed. There's so many collector editions coming out that I just don't care about. And I don't know if that says more about the industry that the statues aren't that good, or if it's about me that I'm just not won over as easily anymore.
You're not as easily won over.
Yeah. I'm still definitely a consumer whore. Look at my shelves.
Yeah. He did mention earlier that he was like, if I can't find a game, I just rebuy it, which is the most consumerist thing I've ever heard.
That's true.
I have bought things I already owned before.
Oh, I was going to say, funny. I remember what game it was, but Joe one time told me, he was like, yeah, I just bought the digital version of the game because I didn't feel like putting the game into my Xbox.
That's happened before.
He didn't want to get his ass up off the couch, walk over to his Xbox games, pop the disc in. No. He just went off and bought the digital version because that would be easier.
Well, Joe, are you the ultimate capitalist?
Sometimes. It depends on what the game is. Like, if it's something like Diablo that I'm going to come back to frequently, like, I'd rather just have it digital. That way I could fire it up anytime. But if it's, like, I'm considering getting the physical of Final Fantasy 16 because it'll be in, I'll play it, and when I'm done, it's going to go on the shelf.
Hey, I'm not, no complaints here. Thanks supporting my industry. Deep from the bottom of my heart, thank you. it's hard in tech right now. Everything helps.
I think Carnage and I are in a race to see who could get the most games.
Oh, gosh.
It's disgusting. Yeah. Rupier, thank you so much for the sub for your 42nd month. That is ridiculous. I keep forgetting we've been doing this for that long, and it makes me feel so old.
Yeah, you're an old fart.
Yeah, but that's okay. That was the week in Xbox. Is anything else anyone wanted to talk about? Or,
well, there were other shows that were on too.
There was
that had
like they had the Ubisoft event that didn't show off anything new that we didn't already see before. I don't know, Avatar, that looked good.
Oh, that looked amazing.
Is there stuff specifically you wanted to mention? Because this is your time now.
Well, there was the indie show that was right after the Summer Games Fest. Like, immediately after. Day of the Devs?
That we talked about on last Thursday?
I don't know.
Yes, we talked about that last Thursday.
Oh.
Before we get into it, I just got the 10-minute dinner bell, so I think I have to get going.
All right, well, Timber, thank you so much for joining us. We'll use this to segue into reviews. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us. Anything else that you wanted to mention before you left?
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. I always have a ton of fun on your show, so thank you guys for always making me feel welcome. This is great.
Oh, we love having you.
Thanks. If folks haven't checked out I gotta make it about indies, love my indies, the extended show and the showcase itself, again, head on over to xbox.com. there's a ton of information about all of the games, the games that are in DAP. The article actually has interviews and stuff, so you can get to know the games a little better before they come out. We've got some really incredible things on the way, and I'm just, yeah, check out the DAP program. Really, really incredible work being done there as well for the diversity and the health of games and in indies and stuff. which I'm so proud of it. And yeah, thanks again. And
where can people follow you?
That's a great question. I'm mostly on Twitter. You guys can catch me at @just_timber. Yeah, check me out there. DM's always open. You can just come and say hi anytime you want. so yeah.
All right. Well, you have yourself a wonderful night, and thank you again for joining us. Yeah. Do you have any final words?
Sea urchins, did you know that they eat kelp, and that in between their spines that they use to hold the kelp, they have like thousands of little tube feet that pushes them into their mouth, which is at the underside and the bottom of them. And that's how they eat. And they eat very quickly. Yeah. Yeah. They have five mouths that come together for one hole. So there
you go. There you go, urchin facts. It's not salmon urchin facts, but urchin facts.
Yeah, you know, I like to keep it salmon fresh, you know?
I'm going to convince Grant to write a salmon facts song one day. It'll happen.
Please, that would be a dream come true.
All right, everyone. Have a good night,
Timber. Yeah, you too. Thanks again. Have a good one, everyone.
Have a good night.
One little bit of news. I just literally got in my email. Fire Emblem for the Game Boy Advance is going to be hitting on June 22nd on the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack. So if you have Game Boy Advance, Fire Emblem, the Blazing Blade will be available. There you go.
Cool.
Shit.
That's exciting.
So should we get to reviews? Or is there anything else either of you wanted to talk about?
Nope.
Jacob, any news? Sure.
I don't remember what I posted to the SML Facebook page, so...
Any movie Overwatch bullshit?
Actually...
There we go.
There is...
You're welcome.
Sonic the Hedgehog Movie Watch.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, it's related to the Knuckles series. They've added some cast members, including Christopher Lloyd.
Oh.
Because he essentially does anything and everything.
True, he does. Except show up on pinball tables.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Pragmata was pushed back.
Which one?
Pragmata.
Oh, from Capcom?
Yeah. That was pushed back, and they're like, yeah, we don't even have a date for this anymore. We have no fucking clue. That was the one where the dude was in a space suit, and there was a little girl with him, and gravity went fucky wookie. It was weird. I have no idea what that game is going to be still. That its original trailers didn't help any, and the new one that they had that told us it was pushed back did not help any. I still don't know what the fuck this game is.
Some news that Jacob might want to know about. Soul Calibur 5 and all of its DLC is getting delisted on PS3 and 360.
Yeah, I was annoyed by that. I mean, I get it, because there's probably rights issues tied up in there. It's also not backwards compatible.
Yeah.
And I looked, I own it, thankfully. And the only thing I don't have is like all the DLC, and like, it's a bunch of costume crap and some of it's music, and it's just like, I've got better things to spend my dollars on. Like, as much as I'd like to have everything for it, this is like, I'm just going to stick with the base game.
No, that's fair. Oh my God, they have so many reward points. Jesus Christ.
Embracer has closed a bunch of studios and fired a bunch of people.
No, they're going to.
Oh, I thought they'd already done it.
No.
Yeah.
They announced that they're going to be restructuring because they spent the past half a decade buying companies. Now they have to manage them and get rid of a few.
Yeah, a few. 100 is a little bit more than a few.
Well, they didn't close anything yet, did they?
I don't know. I thought they had.
I think they just have that many studios right now. I don't think they're closing that many studios. I don't think there's that many studios. I don't know.
Yeah. And apparently they don't think the Tomb Raider franchise is worth all that much, surprisingly. I don't understand why. And I don't know why they think that. But apparently that is something that was said at some point, which is confusing. The Rubik's Cube solving record has been beaten.
Oh yeah, 3 seconds. Which I'm like, what the hell? How does that even work?
I have no idea. That was insane.
Like, I watched the video, and it's just like, the kid just like, choo, 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 slap. Like, what the heck?
He is going to make some lady very happy in the future.
Now, here, I'm reading up on the Embracer thing. The firm didn't immediately detail a figure for the number of layoffs, said its current headcount of 17,000 will be cut down. So there's no numbers, there's nothing yet. Just that there will be cuts. Which is nothing really newsworthy, unless it's a big amount of cuts, but we don't know.
I thought the 17,000 was how many they were planning. No,
that's how many they have now.
Oh, okay. I was like, because at first I was like, damn, that's a lot of fucking people that one to have and two to be cutting. Yeah. Like, shit.
Yeah, their current employee headcount is 17,000.
Damn, that's a lot of people. No wonder they're cutting. That's a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Sucks that so many people. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that have a job, though, but that's a lot of people.
Yeah. But yeah, should we get into reviews?
Sure.
Jacob, you ready?
As I'm like struggling to like load the SML podcast Facebook page in time to like see if there's any news to report. Okay, we talked about that. Oh, McDonald's released a game that runs on Game Boy Color.
Wait, what?
No, it's just a game that's in the style of a Game Boy Color. It's not.
No, it loads on Game Boy Color. You can download that. You can download the ROM for it on the Internet Archive.
Because from what I saw, it was just released online. But that's cool that they made it.
Yeah, Chris downloaded it. Like, he posted it on Facebook.
You think I pay attention to Facebook?
Well,
yeah, I looked at this First Descendant thing. I like the trailer. Namely, because the main person that they were looking at is very attractive.
Anything else?
We're getting a Far Cry Blood Dragon anime series.
Don't care.
What? Jeez. How do you not care about that? That sounds awesome.
It's anime. Yeah. I don't watch anime.
Fucking get to watch an anime. Then you will watch anime. It'll be fine.
I'm good.
No, the only one that Joe's ever watched is Golden Boy?
Yeah.
Fair enough, that was a good one.
That's the only one I really got into. Watch the girl spitting and him just going, yeah, was hilarious.
I think you'll like Great Teacher Onizuka. GTO. Go look that up. I think you'll really like that one.
I have wrestling to watch.
Those two are very similar.
I have so much wrestling to watch.
Yeah, that's all the news I got.
All right, then let's get to reviews. Ready?
Sure.
Yeah, ready
for this. First game to talk about tonight, we're going to take another look at Star Trek Resurgence, developed by Dramatic Labs, published by Brunner House, released May 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Epic Game Store for $39.99. Star Trek Resurgence is a narrative adventure game featuring dialogue choices, relationship building, and exploration. Alongside dialogue-driven role-playing and rich branching storylines, you'll also engage with the Star Trek universe, a variety of other gameplay styles, including shuttle piloting, phaser fights, tricorder scanning, stealth, and micro gameplay mechanics. Jacob, tell us about your time with Star Trek Resurgence.
So, it's a Star Trek game on console, so immediately I was hyped about this. The game is essentially a visual novel with mini games thrown in every once in a while just to break up the monotony. And you get to play as two different characters on the USS Resolute, which, shoot, I forget what class of ship it is. But anyways, so it's a starship. They, like, it just underwent a refit. There's a bunch of new crew members on board, and you find out that you're replacing a very beloved commander who died tragically in their last mission, which ended up causing the ship to need to get repaired. So one of them you're playing as a female commander, and the other one is like, he's a lower decks kind of guy. He works mostly like in engineering, getting stuff done. And so the story constantly goes in between the two of them. And with the commander, it's a lot of like building up relationships with officers as like you're the new kid in school. But also like showing that you have leadership ability, you know what you're doing, all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, while the Lower Decks guy, he is more of just, he's more building the personal relationships, between other people. And like, you have the chance at romance if you want. And, you know, or let's just stay friends. You could do either one, with that kind of stuff. And, so the plot in itself, I mean, it's just like you're being sent to go, like, there's these two planets that, you know, they have been at peace for a while. All of a sudden they're not, and it's the Resolute's first, you know, mission to go back. It should theoretically be easy, you know, just reestablish planet peace between these two planets. But of course, nothing is ever that easy. And so you have to navigate, like, I mean, you have to navigate, like, with diplomacy, like, there is some stealth because, you know, sometimes you have to talk to people who, like, or get into certain areas, that you're not supposed to be in because you act as more of an unofficial, like, in an unofficial capacity. And while that's going on, again, you know, you're going back as like the Lower Decks guy, and like you're investigating stuff on the ship, like trying to figure out why certain things are happening, and just like a lot of fixing stuff. And honestly, most of the mini games, like I'm in the Star Trek shit posting Facebook group, and shocking. A lot of people, yeah, I know, and like there were a bunch of people who were like complaining about the mini games. Honestly, like, I thought they were okay. Like, you know, it's just you, like, it lets you do, like, a ton of different stuff on board the ship. And, like, as a Star Trek nerd, you know, this was kind of cool, like, to finally be able to do this in one of the games. And also have a game that really focuses on people who aren't, like, the lead. Like, you're not the captain. And also, it's not, like, the normal crew. Like, these are all new characters that you're dealing with, and so you, like, it's not like, oh well, you know, Worf and Riker like hanging out down in like 10 forward and stuff like that on Next Generation, like, okay. Well, I mean, you know, so like with those kind of games, like, you already knew like the relationships. Here you're flying in blind and you have to play it as you think it's gonna go well. And like, honestly, like, the plot and the dialogue, I thought that was very engaging. I enjoyed the mini games. I didn't find them to be monotonous like some people. Honestly, where this game drags down, there are two very specific things. The graphics and animation are just sometimes everything looks really beautiful. And then other times, like, you'll notice clipping during cinematic scenes and you're just like, what? And like, how did that not get caught? But then also there's times when like the character animations are really jerky. And I was telling my brother, like, you know, like imagine the character animations from Star Wars Jedi Outcast. He was like, but I like Jedi Outcast. He was like, I did too, but that came out almost 20 years ago, you know? And it's just like these character animations aren't like the way that they're walking and holding stuff is very stiff sometimes, and it's just it feels rushed in that area. And also it just, I don't know, like sometimes in the background stuff, like I appreciate like that they used a ton of different starships, but I swear to God, when you're at the initial starbase, that there's a steam runner class ship that I swear just does nothing but circle around around your ship and around the starbase. And it's just like, does this ship not have anything else to do? Like, you couldn't have like cycled through other ships to be going around in the background? Like, come on, guys. The other thing where it really drags down is literally any time that there's any kind of phaser combat. Like, phaser, like, all the phaser, quote-unquote, minigame sections are just absolute hell. It's slow, it's clunky. For, like, Starfleet's best and brightest, you're moving like a friggin' tank. Like, it is just so slow, and aiming,
it's just not done well. Like, and so they become tedious, and you also only have so many like strikes, like how many times you can get hit, and it's like baseball, three strikes and you're out. And it's just no, like every single time, like. And the thing is, with Star Trek games, when it gets into a combat area, you're supposed to get excited. You're supposed to, like, you know, ooh, all right, finally, we're going to have the adventure. Anytime I ever ended up in combat, I was just like, oh, shit, no. Like, I don't want to do this, please. Can we just continue with the story? So, yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I've been having a good time with the game. And yeah, if like you're a Star Trek fan, like I'm definitely going to recommend checking it out. So
now it's $40. Is that a good price for Star Trek fans or
so? What do you think? So here's my thing. If you're a Star Trek fan, like $40, yeah, I'm cool with that price. If you're not so much of a Star Trek fan and you're more along the lines of like you're a fan of like point and click adventure games or visual novels. Because this game draws from both of them. If you're more of a fan of that kind of stuff, I'm honestly going to say wait for a sale on this. There are better titles that like in the same like wheelhouse of like $40 or more that handle the genres better. It's just how much do you like Star Trek?
Yeah. All right, well, next game to talk about is 2D and Top D, developed by Diet Zribby, published by Top Hat Studios, released June 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. A cosmic turbulence caused the 2D platformer and the top-down puzzler to dimensions to merge. Switch between 2D and Top D in their unique perspectives to overcome hard-as-nails challenges, solve mind-melting puzzles, and defeat huge bosses. Jacob, what is going on in 2D and Top D?
So, in 2D and Top D, the universe, like, there's just this, like, one single, like, godlike being who then decides, like, I'm bored. I'm gonna create some stuff. And so, this godlike being does. Creates a bunch of planets. And, you know, decides to start creating life on each and every single one. But this is starting to become a little bit, you know, this is a bit much to manage. So he also creates this guy named To-Do, who he gives him all sorts of stuff to do. I mean, honestly, I found it amusing. Like, the characters look like something that... that would have come out of like a Katamari game. So anyways, there is a semicolon that is holding the universe together, and To Do is just like, you know what? I'm doing all this stuff. How about I just take some of this power for myself? And so To Do hides the semicolon and everything gets out of whack, and all of like the planets like just start combining, and like, well, obviously, as you already know, genres start mishmashing. And that's how we end up with our two heroes, 2D and
Top D.
Top D, thank you. I was just like, oh God, I'm blanking. So 2D when you're playing as 2D, it is platformer kind of sections. When Top D is top-down puzzle stuff. And all of the levels, and thankfully the game does like take baby steps with you so you can figure out how things work. And you honestly don't even face any enemies until the second world. The game really wants you to like understand mechanics and how things work before really getting crazy with stuff, thankfully. And so it's a lot of trial and error. Because 2D can die by like hitting spikes or touching any enemies. This is not a Mario game, so jumping on top of enemies automatically kills you. But then you also have Top D who can't jump at all because they're quote unquote stuck to the wall or floor, because that's how 2D visualizes them. And so it's kind of like Ilo Milo, except
taking it to another step. And just trying to figure out, like, you know, going in between the two characters and trying to find that perfect balance. Or there's some levels where one character may do all the, like, heavy lifting, and then it's just getting the other one to the end. Honestly, at first there was really only one puzzle that I had to, like, look up the solution for, because then I was just racking my brain over and I'm just like, what the heck am I not seeing? Because a lot of these puzzles, it's just, you'll go into it and then realize, oh, I screwed up because I needed to do this. And so for me, it was real common. Like, it might take like two or three tries to get a level done. In this one level, I was just like, what in the hell? Like, I've died now 15 times. What am I doing wrong? Like, what am I missing? So I go look it up. And it turns out, no, it's just get good scrub. so like, I had the right idea. It's just, I sucked at it. And this brings me into the next part. There are a bunch of stuff that, that the game devs threw in there to help with the difficulty of the game. Like, you could do air jumps. There's quote unquote telekinesis, which, I guess, Top D is then able to, like, grab boxes anywhere. I guess, I don't know. I didn't fully play with all of the difficulty stuff. I only used them as needed, which I thought was kind of nice that the game, like, it doesn't punish you for using them, and you could just turn them on and off as you see fit. And so after I would solve a puzzle, I'd actually go back, turn off the difficulties, and then just keep going. And only throwing on, like, the air jump as I needed to. And I really appreciate that, because it's just, I mean, they know that there are people who just, like, they just want to experience the game.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to have to deal with, like, all the super challenges, or they just want to move on past one of those challenges. And I really appreciate the game for doing that. Like, it was pretty, like, it's pretty damn fun. Like,
so, yeah. Are you messing with your mic at all? Because I keep hearing, like, a rattling.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I guess.
The game's $20. What do you think about it?
Absolutely. Like, this is a lot of fun. And, yeah, like, it really came out of left field, because I remember Joe's, like, you were just like, hey, do you want to review it? And I'm like, yeah, fine, I guess, whatever. Like, and this game just, like, came out of nowhere, and I'm, like, I was I kept showing my wife, like, oh my god, look how you have to solve this level, and she's like, yes, dear, yes. Like, it's very inventive. Oh my god, look, oh, like, this is so crazy. But yeah, I really enjoy it. $20, absolutely. That's from Cheap Ass Jacob.
Cool. Alright, well, that's it for you. We'll let you get going.
Ooh. Yay!
Yay!
All right, bye.
That it? You're just...
What?
I'll fucking kill you!
Rude. I love our soundboard. He's gone. All right. Next up, Layers of Fear, developed by Bloober Team and Anshar Studios, published by Bloober Team. Released June 15th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $29.99. All stories must come to an end, even twisted and eerie ones. The canvas, the stage, the novel, this narrative-focused psychological horror experience is ready for its final brushstrokes, its curtain call, its final chapter. Are you ready to return and face your fears one last time? Aki, what is going on in Layers of Fear?
Okay, if you guys have played Layers of Fear 1, its DLC, and Layers of Fear 2, you've played a good chunk of this game. This is a repackaging of those, as well as a new part to the game that actually finishes it off and ties them all together. And it updates, obviously, all the graphics and everything. It also adds audio. When you're reading letters and stuff, people actually speak instead of just having to read it. Because I don't think the prior original releases of the first two games in the DLC, I don't think any of them had where voices happened when you read notes. Could be wrong. It's been a long time. But yes, in this, you start off as a young black woman who is entering this really shitty old lighthouse, and you are a writer, and you are here to write about
supposedly this really shitty lighthouse that no one gives a fuck about. And you start off by writing the first Layers of Fear game, and you immediately go into that game and start playing it.
Interesting.
Yes, it's very interesting. And after that, you immediately go into the next bit of writing, which would be the DLC, and then the next bit of writing. And you just keep playing through all the games until you're finished. And so all the prior games that you've played are all just stories in this woman's mind that she's making, which is really interesting. It's a very good way to tie them all together when they otherwise had really nothing to connect them to each other. Other than they were fucky wucky and bad things happened. That's the only similarities between them. But the first game of the series, you play as a painter, and he is kind of deranged as a motherfucker. And, you know, his life has gone very, very bad because he's kind of a shit person. And, yeah, he is trying to finish his painting, and you basically go through his mansion and add to his painting, you know, and based on things you find and actions you take, determine how the painting starts looking, which can change the ending of, I think, three different endings, I believe it has. And yeah, then you go into the DLC, basically, of the first game, which is a young child. And it's very different from the first game. The first game is very much, you know, kind of a walking sim, realistically speaking. You're going around, you're looking at things, you're inspecting things, you're going from point A to point B, interacting with the world a little bit.
Well, is anything different from, like, the initial releases to this, or is it basically like a straight port of those games with better visual?
It's basically a straight port, more or less. At least from what I've played, it just seemed to be a straight port with some, obviously, graphics completely rebuilt, because all of this is completely rebuilt. And
Unreal Engine 5, I think.
I believe so. But otherwise, yeah, it seems to be basically those games again, from what I've played.
So which I'm not even halfway through. Is the new stuff worth revisiting the game or revisiting all the games?
Yes. In my opinion, yes. Because the graphics of the prior games are, they exist. They're okay. They're fine. It's not something, like, Cole always acted like they were scary games. They're not, because graphically they're not going to scare you at all. They're not particularly foreboding in the original.
They scared me. Shut up.
God, you're such a pussy. this one, if that scared you, this is going to make you. Because this one looks much better. Everything's darker when it's supposed to be darker. Things move and you don't see them. Rodents are disgusting. Vermin that will pop up everywhere, because of course they will. Like, this one's a lot closer to being scary to me, just because it looks so much better. But it is basically a port of the original game, DLC, and the second game. I think if you haven't played them, I think this is the version you should get. If you have played them and you're like, they were okay, I think this is good, you might as well get this as well. Because it ties them all together and it adds a little bit of extra stuff to it, but not really a lot. I have not finished the game because these are like, each one of these games is like a 15 plus hour game for me. So I've gotten a chunk of the way through the very first game, and it's basically been the first game from what I remember. Again, it's been a very long time since the original one.
The cool but everything stuff here has been, is like, the new content tying everything together.
Yeah, and that was interesting. When I first started this, I just assumed, okay, we're going to play the first game, then we're going to play the DLC, and then the second game, and then there's going to be a fourth game. And then immediately you're playing as a woman. And I was like, wait, what? Pretty sure the first game you played as a guy. Yeah. What's going on? And then it's completely different at first. I was like, oh, that's cool. And it's a little creepy at the very beginning. You don't get very long with her before you immediately jump into the first game.
But in between each game, I believe you flip back to her interacting in this very fucky wucky lighthouse. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to actually finishing this game. Nice. It's going to take me probably a month, but
well, when you finish, we'll have to revisit it and see how you like the ending and if it ties everything together satisfyingly. But it's $30. What do you think?
Oh, I am so for that. Oh hell yeah, yes, $30 is a great price for this. Matter of fact, honestly, I'm shocked it's only $30. To be honest, that is a steal as far as I'm concerned.
Like two games, DLC, new DLC, added content. It's a good bundle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure after you beat the second game, I'm pretty sure it does add in a full third game as well.
Nice.
Which is the writer's story, which is the lady you start off as. I'm pretty sure it actually has its own story too. So you're getting a lot for $30 with this. And I'm pretty sure I spent more than $30 just on the original two games and the DLC. So this is a fucking steal. Go for it, guys. It is nice. Really good so far.
All right. Well, next up is Dordogne, developed by Un Je Ne Sais Quoi and Umanimation. Crazy name. Published by Focus Entertainment. Released June 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Also available as a part of Xbox Game Pass. Immerse yourself in a unique narrative experience and explore the thousand summer colors of Dordogne as you visit your childhood to uncover lost family secrets in this touching formative journey. Aki, what is going on in Dordogne?
Okay. In this game, you play as a young woman named Mimi, who is basically going to her grandmother's old house. Her grandmother, Nora, has recently passed, and her dad's a dickhead, and didn't tell her. She just happened to find the letter and was like, okay, fuck this, I'm out. I need to go there and, you know, see some stuff, because he also hid a letter that was specifically for Mimi from Nora, saying, hey, I have some stuff here for you. He wasn't going to tell her shit because her dad and his mother didn't get along with each other. So she is going back to that old place that she hasn't visited since she was really, really, really little. Like, I'm guessing like 7 or 8 or something. And she doesn't really remember much about that. But as she interacts with the house and the world right around it, she starts to remember that last summer that she spent there, and you get to relive that with her. So it switches between current day Mimi, which is, I'm guessing, from the 80s, just by the way she's dressed. And then, you know, young little girl her from the past when she was with her grandmother here. And it's just this really sweet little game. You basically, it's kind of a point and click game.
Beautiful, beautiful game.
Oh, it's so pretty. It's very pastel, very painted.
Watercolor look.
Yes, it is so beautiful. And it is very touching. Because the entire time, she's just reminiscing this entire time about being here. And then you get to play what she's reminiscing, and you get to interact with the world, and it comes with all the problems of being a child. Like, you know, I don't know how common all this is for everybody, but very much this was very common for me. Like, she didn't want to be at her grandmother's house because her parents were going to Paris, and she wanted to go with them, and being left at grandma's house that she didn't remember the last time she was even there at, because it had been so long. Like, she felt like they were like tossing her away, and she's like, I don't like it here, because she doesn't want to give it a try. So she's just like, I don't like it here. This isn't what I'm used to. I don't like this. I miss everyone else from where we live, and I don't like it. And you slowly, well, not really particularly slowly, but you quickly see her get used to living there and actually starting to enjoy it and stuff. And it's just, it's so sweet. And I really like it. Oh, it actually makes me want to cry. I'm tearing up a little.
Well, the game's $19.99. What are your thoughts on it?
I am very for this. It's beautiful. The gameplay is very easy. And it's something I think most of us
can relate to. So I'm really for it. I think it's just an absolutely beautiful little game.
Cool. All right, next up is Shantae. Shantae, developed and published by WayForward, released June 2nd on PS4 and PS5 for $9.99. In her debut title, Shantae hair whips, dances, and transforms as she seeks out four elemental stones in throughout Sequin Land to put a stop to the nefarious lady pirate Risky Boots. During her quest, she'll explore treacherous labyrinths, gain amazing new powers, conquer minigames, meet up with friends such as Bolo, Sky, and Roddy Tops. Our friend Andy Sperry wrote in a review, this is what he's got to say. Shantae is an indie action platformer developed by WayForward that was originally released in 2002, inspired by games from the era of classics like Aladdin, Mega Man, and Castlevania. Initially released for the Game Boy Color gaming system, it's now available for Nintendo and PlayStation. With Shantae, the developers created an entertaining series with a dedicated fan base. Now fans can relive the nostalgia with a few updated display options, control improvements, and overall enhanced gameplay. Shantae follows the eponymous half-genie heroine as the of the series in the fictional world of Sequin Land. As this guardian of Scuttletown, Shantae must use her magical abilities, excellent dancing skills, and a little help from her friends in order to protect the world from her evil nemesis and the series' main antagonist, Risky Boots, the lady pirate captain. The plot develops when Risky Boots steals a prototype steam engine, and with the help of her gang of pirates, the Tinker Bats attempt to conquer Sequin Land. Shantae follows the antagonist through the multiple landscapes, towns, and dungeon-style labyrinths in order to keep Risky from obtaining the four magical elemental stones that power the engine and morph it into an unstoppable weapon. Shantae involves puzzle-solving elements along with strong battle mechanics. The main attack uses the hair as a whip, and new combat moves can be obtained in town shops. Combat moves are purchased with gems, which can be used for various other items to help with the journey. Gems are obtained through boxes or from defeated enemies across the game's five towns, landscapes, and obstacles between them. Shantae features a classic lock-and-key type progression system commonly found in Metroidvania games. Shantae must find various characters to help with dungeons and obtain new dance moves that transform Shantae into animals to help with the story progression and unlock new previously unreachable areas. A monkey that can climb walls, an elephant that smashes objects, and a harpy that can fly are just a few of the many animal forms to be obtained. There's a day and night cycle, enemies are stronger at night, various collectibles, rhythm-based dancing, and gambling minigames. The game is packed full of amazing features that made it stand out among Game Boy Color games and continue to inspire development today. Shantae is a great game with some incredible features and is the first of many in the series. A game that would be hard to pass up and should be explored if given the chance. The pixelated graphics and simplistic audio may turn some people away, but in my personal opinion, Shantae is a fantastic game that I wish I'd played sooner. Available on the Switch and on PS4 and 5, pick up Shantae today and enjoy the first of many, a fantastic series of action platforming games. And should mention, the audio is done by our friend Jake Kaufman, a.k.a. Vert. And I should end the show with some Shantae. Shantae.
Do it.
I'll have to write that down. Shantae. I can't believe we've been doing that Shantae gig for 10 years now.
I've never played one.
You should. You're good.
That's what I keep hearing. I will do it eventually.
It was like one of Capcom's final big games released on the Game Boy Color, like before the Game Boy Advance took off. The first game was published by Capcom. The others are published independently. But yeah, at the time, it was really cool that my buddy was in a Capcom game. And if you have a cart, the original Shantae for Game Boy Color, you might be able to afford college.
Wait, what?
Game Boy Color Shantae is incredibly valuable.
Holy shit.
Like, a few $100. It is ridiculous.
Damn.
Shantae Game Boy Color.
I don't think a few $100 is going to let you.
Here's a complete one. A complete one for $6,000.
Oh my god.
Car only $800.
I kind of wish I had the original all box everything. Oh my god, I'd sell that immediately, and then I'd buy a super fucking computer. Shit.
Yeah, I had the game box and everything, and my one girlfriend kept it. Yeah, and then
do you know where she is? Can you kneecap her and take it back?
No, and then I got it back, and I actually got the cartridge signed by Jake. So it was signed by the musician.
Oh, damn.
And another girlfriend kept that one. I had this fucking game twice. complete with the box instructions. This motherfucker is worth thousands today, and I don't have it.
Out of all the games for you not to have.
Yeah. Then again, if I had it, I'd probably sell it. So, next game to talk about is The Tartarus Key, developed by Vertical Reach, published by Armor Game Studios, released June 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. There's no way out for Alex Young, who wakes up to find herself locked in a strange mansion filled with puzzles, traps, cameras following her every move. Whether she and her companions live or die and find the truth behind their abduction is up to you. In this first-person mystery thriller, Aki, what is going on in The Tartarus Key?
Okay, folks, do you like Saw? Do you like pixely graphics? Well, then this is your game. You play as Alex, a young woman who is a courier, who gets unconscious somehow and dropped into a weird fucking mansion that is filled with fuck you and death. You start off with basically every area in this game is an escape the room challenge, and you have to get the fuck out of the room you're in, and then you find yourself in another room, and guess what you have to do? Get the fuck out that bitch too, all while someone on a walkie-talkie is talking to you named Torres, and they are trying to get you to help them because they can't find a way out of their own room, and eventually you can find and maybe save them, maybe fuck up. It's up to you. It's up to how bad you are at the game, really. Because throughout this game, you meet other people who have been kidnapped and brought into this shithole of a mansion. And you can save them, or you can be stupid and they can die. So that's great fun. I found some of the puzzles in this to be really challenging, and before you ask what kind of puzzles are there, they're all over the fucking place. Some of them are, you know, here's a journal. Now you have to figure out which sign goes in the four quadrants here, based on what's written in this book. Okay. Or here's this one. You have to figure out how to make a specific cocktail. You have to find all the ingredients for it. You have to make it exactly as is, or this person dies, because why not? So, like, they're kind of all over the place with them. It can be pretty gruesome, realistically. There are 5 or 6 people that you can find, and either save or fail to save. And that's really the majority of the game. Torres ends up being a detective, and don't worry, you find that out within like the first 2 minutes of the game. And you're just working with her, trying to figure out why everyone is here, what connects them all, why they're here, who put them here, what this bullshit is, and why this bullshit even exists. And yeah, there's 3 different endings. There's a bad end, a good end, and then obviously a harder true end. And yeah, you need to get all 3 of them if you want all the achievements. And yeah, the first time I played through this, I think it took me like 5 hours, I think. And then after that, I immediately played it again and got through it in like 40, 50 minutes.
Wow. So when you're doing, it's quick.
Oh yeah, none of the puzzles change between playthroughs or anything. So once you know the solution, you can literally just go plug in the solution without doing anything.
I'll go like, speedrun the game.
Yeah, that's basically what I did. Because like in the very first room, the first time you're in, you find postcards and you have to figure out how they line up via some other item in the room that gives you a code for a safe that has a key in it that lets you out of the room. If you know what the code is, you can just go to the fucking thing, put the code in, grab the key, and fucking leave. You don't have to touch anything else in that room. So after I played through it, I just went, okay, that's the answer, out. This is where all these items are. This is the order they're in, out. And I just kept doing that. And also, I was very quick on my second playthrough because I wanted to kill everybody. That wasn't me. So I was like, let's just see how they all die. And they're kind of gruesome.
Oh, the game's $20. What do you think?
that's a bit much, I think. I think for the average person, that's probably a decent price. If you're a miser like I am, I would wait for a 50% sale.
because again, this will probably take you 6-ish hours to beat. But I think it's a really fun game. The story isn't as good because it just kind of goes off the deep end into stuff that doesn't quite make sense, and it doesn't fully explain anything, which really hampers, which is why I say 50% sale would be my suggestion. It's a decent fun gameplay, but the story is lacking.
All right. Well, one last game to chat about tonight. I know you wanted one more chance to chat about Saints Row, developed by Volition, published by Deep Silver. It is available now, and if you are quick on the draw, it is still on sale on Xbox for $45 for the Gold Edition. It is half off right now. What did you want to say about Saints Row that you didn't say last week?
All right, so as of my last review, I had only gotten like the bare minimum of the main story finished. I had just gotten the main base made, and that was it, because I immediately went into the DLC and was like, okay, and then started doing all the side stuff because I'm me. I have now basically 100% of the game at this point. The story is really good. I don't know why people hate the side characters so much. Like, all your friends and stuff, they really grew on me pretty quickly, except for Kevin, which now I actually know his fucking name. Which is the shirtless guy. He's the only one who doesn't particularly grow on me, and I think a big part of that is because he's constantly shirtless, and I'm just like, dude, put a fucking shirt on. which other characters say, too? But I did find there's an outfit where you can force him to put a shirt on, so he's now wearing that, much to his chagrin. So, this game has a surprisingly large amount of twists and turns in it. Like, the entire ending section I didn't expect, which was awesome. So have fun with that, you guys. But there is one drawback I found in this game. A lot of my time was spent waiting, just waiting, not really doing much of anything, because so much of the game is tied behind buying the different major properties in order to, you know, increase how much money you make and all that stuff. But they all cost a lot of money. Like, the first three of them each cost $30,000, which isn't a ton, except for when you kill enemies, you get maybe 100-ish at most. And then the next three of them cost, like, $100,000. And then the next ones, I think, are, like, $1 million or some shit. Like, very quickly, they just keep ballooning in price, and it takes so long to make that money. Like, even right now, I have everything maxed out and all that other fun stuff. I make about $4 million an hour now, which is a decent amount. It would have bought me almost everything within a few hours. But back in the beginning of the game, I was making like 1,000-ish an hour, and it's like, and I need 30,000. That's a lot. So that's a bit of a drawback. I found that there's a nice little glorious glitch that will buttfuck you so horrendously that they haven't quite fixed yet.
Lord.
You get perks in the game, which are like, hey, you want to dual-wield pistols and SMGs? That's a perk you can, you know, eventually get a hold of. You want to take no fall damage no matter how high you fall from? That's another perk you can get. And you can only have 5 perks at most equipped. Well, you get those by completing challenges. And challenges can be anything. Here, I'll pop up the last couple of them that I have. There's one right here that's just called Badlands Badass. Perform a backflip in a certain location and get airtime in this other location. Not very hard to do. But you have to do something like 40 or 45 of them or something to get all the perks. Easy. And when you do that, you're supposed to get an achievement called Jack of All Trades. Apparently, no, I did not. And I am not happy about that. Because that is not something you're going to get within the first couple hours of the game. That is something that that took me well after I had already almost bought everything before I got the last perk, which means I had already well finished the game, because the main game doesn't take that long to actually beat.
all the side stuff takes a long time to beat, and I spent most of my time playing this game doing that, and it took until I was almost done with that and the main story in order to finish enough challenges to have gotten that achievement. Like, right now, I have, like, 6 challenges left, and there's no other perks for me to get. I'm just going to do them just to, because I can, because I'm that kind of person. And this is a problem that's been known since basically day one. Some people, a challenge will just stop registering stuff going into it, so they can't complete that challenge. Thankfully, there's more challenges than are necessary, but that's apparently still an issue. And for other people like me, we've gotten all the fucking perks, but we don't have the achievement, and there's no way to get that achievement unless I want to replay the entirety of the game 100% all over again, which, jeez. Yeah, I've submitted a ticket to them to see if they can hopefully fix that. I don't have a lot of faith in that, which is very irritating. So buyer beware of that. If you're an achievement hunter, you probably aren't going to get it, because less than 1% of people who have played this game have that achievement. So, fun! Yeah, it kind of sucks. No. Otherwise, I've really enjoyed it. There is going to be another piece of DLC coming out,
yep.
I assume, fairly soon. It's going to be obviously another single-player thing, but it's tied to... basically, it's Mr. Genki's Happy Hour, or whatever the hell it was called from the prior games. There's something like that in this game, except for you only get to do it in one single mission, and that's what this DLC is going to be. It's going to allow you to do that. You get to play as one of 4 brand new characters, and that's all it is. It's just doing that. It's a brand new mode, more or less, I think. And you get to play... It looks like you're going to be able to pick either one of the different gang people to play as. So a cop, a marshal, a Panderos, or an idol is what I think is what all the images looked at. And we'll they all have their own level up trees.
Actually releases. I don't have any information on the DLC yet. So
woohoo, I have more info than you for once. That's never happened before.
In the long run, is it worth picking up Saints Row? Is this a game worth buying?
If you're an achievement whore and you're like, I need all the achievements, maybe wait on it until hopefully they fix that achievement, because I don't know if you're going to get it in a second playthrough, and you'll have to play it all completely through before you know. But if you don't care about achievements, yes, this is a very fun game. I thoroughly enjoyed my time, and I don't know why people were complaining so much about it. I really liked the new folk. There are no Kinsey, but, you know, no one but Kinsey, so...
Yeah.
No, right, is well, a good point second.
Yeah, but that is it for this episode. We made it through. I think it's good timing because you were starting to cut up a little bit at the end there. Big thanks to you and Jacob for being here doing your thing. Massive, massive thanks to Timber for coming on, chatting about the Xbox showcase with us. Yeah, check out the ID'd Xbox streams every week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Always showing off new, fun ID'd Xbox games that you could check out and play. Always check out Xbox.com for news and fun shit like that. Music, we're going to play something from Shantae.
Shantae!
Do you have any final words?
Shantae!
Shantae!